Jarvis Masters has steadfastly maintained his innocence since he was sentenced to death almost 30 years ago.
There are innocent people on death row.
Newly uncovered evidence bolsters those claims of innocence.
I really believe if they found that weapon, I would not be charged for it.
You be the judge on Dear Governor, the podcast.
No one knows what a day feels like innocent on death row.
Listen to Dear Governor on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest, Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, my witchy poo. How are you this fine day? I know you're already laughing because I can't count.
Hello, my elf. Good to see you. Good to hear you.
Good to see you and hear you. So I am over the moon, and actually, funny enough, for the second time, because this will be our second go. I guess we had technical difficulties last time, but we have the incomparable, and she's actually called Kate, not Katie. I call her Katie because of you, but Kate Flannery. Of the very famous office, Dancing with the Stars, her tour with Jane Lynch, and your old buddy is here. Kate, welcome to the show.
I'm not that old. How are you?
Okay, your former.
I think of it as a kidding. It's my long-term friend.
Yes,
I think
there you go. There you go. Well, it's so nice to be back. I'm glad we got the technical stuff fixed.
I know.
Knock on wood.
Exactly.
We're going to do it again. So, so that makes it fun.
Never too much time with Katie.
No. And because I've been around you guys before, I'm going to do a quick intro. Then I could probably just get off the line and go hang out in the other room because you guys are just going to go back and forth so much. It's very entertaining.
It's all good.
And we will eventually talk about ghosts and stuff and things.
Sure.
But I have some questions for you. Katie.
Are they related to the show The Office? That's okay.
No, they're not actually related to your show The Office. Do you want them to be?
No, I don't care. I mean, I don't care. I don't care. It's all good.
Okay. No,
she is trained as an improv actress. You can drop her in anywhere and she's fine. Okay.
Okay. So, Katie.
I've seen you on Dancing with the Stars. I know that's true, Katie. Okay. I'm dancing in a box. Here we go.
Here we go. 6 million people watching. No.
Don't trip.
That wasn't live plus 3 day. I bet it's higher than 6 million. But that's just, I'm just a little
You're
FYI.
Probably right. Yes. Crazy.
So here's question number one.
Yes.
Because it's close to my heart. So what is your favorite pie?
I'm going to say lemon meringue.
Oh, that's a goodie.
That's like a party. It's a party
that's
pie.
That's a party pie. That's so good. I like that.
The show stopper.
It is a show. So already we're done. Goodbye, everyone.
That sounds so good right now. I feel like my diet has been so I've been eating the same damn thing since pandemic started. I want lemon meringue pie.
Okay. What are you eating every day? We need to know.
Kale salad, eggs with tomatoes. I don't know. Just the same
eggs, like hard-boiled eggs with tomatoes,
just cooking. I'm scrambling a couple eggs with some mushrooms. I'm sautéing and some tomatoes. I'm trying to get creative, but it's the same. This is a thing. This is part of survival. It's like this is a great time for self-care. Is all I'm saying.
That is very good.
Great time for self-care. So.
Eggs and tomatoes. Who knew?
Yeah.
Listen, sister, it is not a good time to start a new diet, though, because I was on keto for 6 hours and quit.
Whoa!
It is bullshit. It is hard. And I know, Brenda, you're the pro. And it's like, I
love keto.
You do.
I miss it. Yeah.
Well, I've only been to two stores. Same store actually twice in the last 2 months, over 2 months. And it's like, so we just don't have options at the house. So I just don't think I'm prepared for it. So mental note, don't try a new diet in the middle of a pandemic next time.
There you go. Note to self.
Note to self.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be here for the next one, but we'll see.
Well, Okay, so
I just want to get out of this one. Okay, that's all right.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to go anywhere. I just don't want there to be another pandemic as long as I'm alive. That's right. Pretty clear.
I'm with you, sister. I'm totally with you on that. Because if there were, my next question is that is what I would want to become. Who's your favorite Muppet?
I used to have an Oscar the Grouch doll when I was a kid, and I loved Oscar, but I also. I have to say, I'm still a Grover fan.
Oh, I love Grover. Yeah. Did you ever see the Super Grovers? I wish you guys could see me. I just put my arms over my head when he does the Super Grover with the cape.
Of course. Oh,
Super Grover was the best.
That's what I liked about him because Grover was a he was a trier. He tried a lot of things. He wasn't great at everything, but he tried.
Yeah, he's
and
like
his
me.
Level of frustration used to crack me up. He'd be like,
oh my God, that is the most thoughtful answer anyone has ever given on my Muppet question. I love that. That's my favorite question.
I have never imitated Grover before. This is the first, you guys.
That was a really good one.
Put
that
on my resume. Really I can only, only exasperated Grover.
But you know what? You're right. He always tried, but he was never good at it really much. But when he was Super Grover, he was the best. And I still have a Super Grover figurine.
Oh, that's awesome. And I feel like he was an immigrant because he spoke with a slight accent. He was probably born in another country, but, came here early. Sorry, I have like this whole thing, but, he just had a very specific way of speaking that was not necessarily.
Was it hard to get into to SAG for him? Like, was that hard? Like, I just need
to. Not at all. Yeah, he's a dream champ.
Oh my God, I love the backstory.
We had this movie years ago. It was called Rio. It was an animated movie, and it was called Rio. And it was
it was
the blue bird that
with
couldn't
the
fly, right?
Yes.
So we sat in a meeting with Tom Rothman at the time, because he was the chairman of the studio, with Tom and Jim. And Tom had said, he goes, I need you guys to come up with ideas on how we can promote this movie and so on and so forth. So I'd read the script. I had all these notes in it, and I had a list of birds that didn't fly. And number one on my list was Big Bird. And number two on my list was Larry Bird. But my point is that I was
flew a little bit.
It looked like he didn't have wings.
Right. But so he got some air for a white guy. He got some air.
He did. But so we used Big Bird a lot during that whole campaign. So he was a favorite Muppet for quite a while. And he just turned 50. So we got Big Bird. This is not a very lightning round of questions.
No,
this is molasses round.
I'm sorry.
If you mind. Okay.
Divergent. We got all the time in the world.
Divergent round, yes.
That's right. What is the most life-changing book that you've ever read?
Wow. I want to say Catcher in the Rye. Mm. And it was life-changing twice, because the first time I read it, I didn't know where it took place. And the second time I read it, I realized that the train that Holden Caulfield was on and the military academy was in was right near my high school. I actually was an extra in the movie Taps, like a featured extra. I was in a bunch of scenes. It's weird. So I was so freaked out that I was actually in the places that J.D. Salinger was in, because he went to Valley Forge Military Academy and it was on the Paley local train to Philadelphia and then to New York. That had been in my personal experience. So for self-centered reasons, it spoke to me again. But the first time, I just felt like it was just it's one of those books where you think as a kid, like you don't realize that other people are as cynical as you are at your age. And when you find out that you're like, oh my, wow. Like it's like a shared darkness, but it actually brings light, if that makes any sense.
It actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So it's, yeah.
I would never have guessed that book. I mean, I could have guessed other, never would have. That's a great one. Thank you for that.
Love it.
So this is like the favorites question. So now, given that we have been living in the shelter in place, because I don't want to call it the pandemic, because if you say, because my question is, what's your favorite new show that you've been watching? I don't want to say during the pandemic, because you put favorite and pandemic in it. So it's like during shelter in place, what's your favorite new show?
The Mandalorian. So good. Oh my God. It's so simple. It's so simple. And it's just simple storytelling. If you don't have to be a Star Wars person. It's almost like a Western. It's a Star Wars story. I think it's a prequel story.
It's on Disney Plus, right?
It's on Disney Plus.
That was a freebie, Disney. That was free.
Yes.
Nobody's paying any of us to say Disney Plus. No. You are welcome, Joe Early.
It's true. And you know who the, right. Here you go, Joe.
Joe.
And also you're welcome, Jon Favreau, because Jon Favreau, he had directed an episode of The Office, but I did Manson the Musical with Jon Favreau. I did. I was in an improv team with him. We took class together.
I love him. He looks great too right now. He looks really healthy and happy.
Well,
and great.
He was the host at Second City when I first started taking classes there. He could not get cast there until he did the movie Rudy. Did he get offered a job on stage there? He was like, too late. But anyway, yeah. But yeah, we were around at the same time. We knew each other way back when. So it's so great. But it's great storytelling. Mandalorian's great. If you've not seen it,
I'm actually writing it down because I am a subscriber to Disney Plus.
Then you got to
so
do it. You got to do
it. I will definitely watch that. Is there anything else that you've seen that you've really liked? Or Brenda, you too. You can join in on the molasses Q&A.
Yes. Fleabag, which
love.
I have to tell you, I did not. I watched the first season like months ago and I was like, a little too dark for me. I'm a little more optimistic these days. Wow. And then when I the second season completely redeems all of the weird feelings I had about the first season.
That's a long lead time for me. I don't know if I could do it.
Right.
But I don't think I watched like a half of the first episode. I was like,
I understand.
Yeah.
I know, but it's like it, you know what it is? It's a weird it's a setup. And then the whole second season is the payoff.
Okay.
So,
All right. Well, that's a big endorsement
like
coming from
yes,
you.
Yes. I'm just saying. Yeah. And it's a lot like life. You know, you get these like bouts of years where you're like, why is this taking so long? Am I stuck with this? What the hell? And then you get a payoff. So there you go.
Oh, that's fair. You know, yes. Kind of like, Ozark. I feel like when I watch Ozark, I get paid off all the time on that crazy ass
show. I got to see that show. I've
not
watched it
yet.
I love Jason Bateman.
I do too. Have you seen Enlightened? Which, interestingly enough, it kind of plays into our show a bit because this is Laura Dern who's in it, and her mom's in it too, which is really awesome.
Yes.
And
she's
so
nuts.
She's
her character's nuts.
She's nuts. Well, she's also a crazy bitch, right? And so she has a meltdown at work. She goes to Hawaii to this kind of enlightenment camp, so to speak. I don't know what they called it.
Right.
And she comes back and she's all like zen and smiley and happy. And A, nobody recognizes her. But you watch her try, which I think is really interesting because I really spent a lot of time slowly watching it. Like I just didn't burn through episodes. I spent time with it because I'm watching this person, which I feel like I've been in that place before, which is you want to be this enlightened person, but then you can't help yourself. You're still an asshole sometimes, right? Like it's this clash of wanting to be something, knowing you should be that, and then you're fighting yourself.
Well, it's actually intellectually wanting to be something that you can't be emotionally.
Yes.
It's just, that's the struggle. That's the life struggle right there. You just,
that's
the dichotomy. That's it.
People call it trying to do a spiritual bypass.
Because
I've got it jammed in my head, and so I know it's so, and pay no attention to how I'm behaving.
Because they also like to proclaim that they are something. You know, there's all the proclamations that happening. But then she does follow things up, right? But the way she handles it is very non-spiritual. Like it's
right. Right.
She will take anybody down kind of thing.
Yes,
but it's so it's a really, for those that are interested in something right now that is at least in the vein of what we talk about on the show, I think Enlightened is actually a really good show. And I love Laura Dern.
She's having a big moment.
I love
her. She's amazing.
And her doppelganger, by the way, is the chief marketing officer of FX named Stephanie Gibbons. So it's crazy. Laura Dern has a doppelganger and her name is Stephanie. Yeah, it's crazy to say. We worked it and I love her. And it's hilarious, but she's like the double. Like when Laura Dern won at an Academy Award.
Yeah, she did.
That I took a picture of the screen and I texted it to Stephanie and said, congratulations, you won. That's how much they look alike.
That's so funny. I actually used to wait on Laura Dern with her dad and they would have dinner with Peter Vonda years ago. And then I've met her since then at award shows because she's an Office fan and very, very lovely. But when you wait on people, you learn a lot. Always lovely. Always.
That's
her dad, not so much. Her dad, big shot.
How about her mom?
I met her mom through this SAG board. She's more emotional. We were on opposite sides of the SAG-AFTRA merger. And a lot of the older actors did not want to merge and they didn't get it.
Right.
They didn't get it, but you know.
Just as long as we're all on the same page about which one of those family members that we love the most. So, but anyway.
I just ripped her whole family apart.
You did. And maybe she's a listener, maybe she's not.
We'll find out.
Hopefully somebody will tell her that there's a love fest for her on the show. Okay. So I have another question, which is, what is your favorite crystal?
I'm going to say rose quartz. Brenda Villa sent me one when I really needed it, and it completely changed everything.
It is the most magical stone, isn't it?
It is.
It really is.
It really is. Doesn't matter what shape it's in. It's still, my eye goes right to it. It's still pretty.
Right,
it's
right.
And it picks up the light really well.
Yeah. What if I said, who's your favorite crystal? Would you answer that?
Don't it make my brown eyes blue?
That's my girl. That's right.
Crystal Gale.
Okay. That's okay. Right. That's perfect.
For the 20-something listening, it's Loretta Lynn's sister. She's a country singer. She's more of a pop singer than a country singer, but yeah.
That's true.
Splitting hairs.
So during the shelter in place, this is my last question. You know, what is like, what's the craziest thing that you've thought about doing or you did or your biggest fail? Like, give us something that you're like, wait, that's not me. I'll give you mine real quick, just so you know how ridiculous that your answer could be. I was watching, it's going to give you the lowest bar possible. That's why I do it. One of the shows that we watch, which I absolutely love, is The Good Fight with Christine Baranski. Loved. Right. And then I went in and actually looked to see if University of Arkansas had a law school. I'm like, I'm going to go be an attorney. So that's where my crazy shelter in place brain went, is that I actually went in and investigated if my local university had a law school. So there's your low bar.
Okay. Well, this is my craziest shelter in place situation. Went for a walk and realized everything. I mean, the beaches are closed, the strands, everything is closed in Redondo and Hermosa. Chris and I were going to go for a 5-mile walk. We're on the way. And realized that there are no bathrooms open. There's nothing open. I begged at a pizza place.
No.
And I mean begged. And they were like, nope. So luckily, we kind of walked our way into the Crown Plaza and we're, you know, a hotel. I mean, which was like zombie land. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? I would never go in anywhere. And here I am
at the Crown
in my
Plaza.
Desperation at the Crown Plaza because I ain't going to make it home. Isn't that humbling? Yeah. So
yeah,
I'm not sure.
Is.
You know, I mean, I know that they have like people that clean there, and I'm sure it was probably
cleaner. You guys have trees still.
Yeah, it's just a weird, I don't know.
Girl, that sucks.
Yeah, anyway.
Didn't even think that would be a
that's
problem.
That's a completely different direction that you went into, but I
want to go to law school. You couldn't pee. All right. I think that's a super fair.
Or more. Yes. Yeah.
Well, who knows? I want to be Christine Baranski. You just wanted to pee. So I'm going to hand this over to you two because it is such an amazing story and fun story how you guys met and then what you experienced when you did become roommates.
Okay. Well, in 1989, I came to Chicago because my aunt sent me a ticket. She thought after I graduated from school that Second City would be a good fit. And she lived in Chicago. Was that actually a sentence? Okay.
Katie has to go to the bathroom, everybody. Yeah, she can't talk.
I know, right?
But where's the Crown Plaza when you need one?
Oh my God. Your life in your hands. So I got into the conservatory at Second City to take class. And so I got to stay with my aunt for the first couple months, but I needed to find an apartment fast. So I looked in the Chicago Reader, which is the free paper. And there was an apartment available. It was a 4-bedroom, 3 of the 4 bedrooms available. So who else answered the ad but Brenda Villa? And we got to be roommates. And we had quite an adventure.
Actually, it's so funny, Katie, because it's not until you just framed it that way that I thought we should have had like a little insight knowing that 3 of the 4 bedrooms were
right. Right. Yeah, there's a reason why the other three left. But that's another story. Yeah.
That is another story.
Yes. I know what I love about Brenda.
It's odds.
Yeah,
you're
we're like, hey,
odds are I can get one of them.
Absolutely. And it was a great apartment. It was huge. It was beautiful. It was right above Lincoln Park. It was, you know, I mean, it was dreamy. So what eventually happened is that Brenda and I were very, we realized that this woman was crazy that we were living with, the person that had been there the longest. And Brenda's like,
the woman who held the lease.
Yes. She's like, we're not leaving. She's leaving. I'm like, what? I love Brenda for that. Oh my God. And I remember we had this whole confrontation with her. It was like, oh my God. And she was scooping ice cream. And then next thing we know, the ice cream is just dripping down her. She's so insane that she doesn't even know what she's doing or looking at.
She was literally holding an ice cream container and serving herself some ice cream as we're trying to have this, you know, dinner time kind of conversation. And it wasn't like an attack. It was just like, hey,
this isn't working out.
This is what we've noticed, you know, sort of thing. And she kept talking to us as the container of ice cream melts off the side of the container, down the bottom of the container, arm. Down her arm. And I, like, Katie and I are looking at each other across the kitchen, like, are you seeing this? Is this happening, right? And it was just like...
She was nuts, because I remember she used to fall asleep in your bed watching your TV when you weren't home. That's bad. That's a bad roommate.
Yeah.
It would have been really interesting if that was the first time Brenda had ever heard that. Hey, Brenda, did you know that your roommate used to lay in your bed and watch your television?
No, I didn't know that. Yeah.
So
maybe she was the one who was drawing in your invisible roommates. Maybe she was the one.
Well, a lot of it happened after she left. So I don't know. Okay,
she sent them in as a replacement.
We don't know.
So you guys got rid of her.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It was a great apartment.
Yeah, it was a great apartment. Okay. It was huge.
All spare and love war and apartments.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say it was at least 2,000 square feet. It was huge, that apartment. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it was at least that. Because with the porch.
Yeah, maybe 2,500.
It had a porch in the front and a porch in the back. And then we were on the top floor, so we had access to the roof. Okay, that wasn't legal, but we did. And we could see fireworks everywhere.
Climbing up the ladder to the roof. Yes.
It was awesome.
That's what we did. We were always climbing up that ladder. Woohoo! Yeah.
And then we'd have to take the ladder down when the landlord was coming.
I know!
Ladder? What ladder? We have no idea what you're talking about.
Hilarious. Oh my God. We had some... I mean, when the Bulls won, we're like up there, like, woo, watching the city go crazy. Back in the 90s, baby. Late 80s, early 90s.
Michael Jordan time.
Oh my God. Yeah. There's a whole new, there's a story about The Last Dance on ESPN, and it's a documentary about the Bulls. And I understand it's really, really good.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And it's got really great ratings. Because it's the only new material they have.
Right. And it's sports oriented, and everybody's starving for some sports, because that keeps people present in present time. That's the tough part about this is like, it's hard to mark every day. Yeah.
Right.
It is hard.
Oh, yeah. I ask all the time. I have no idea what day it is or time, frankly. I mean, that has happened as well. When it's dark, I know it's later. So, so now you two became roommates in the late 80s.
Yes.
You kicked out the woman who held the lease.
Did.
Well done.
We did.
Everybody needs a good witchy poo and a comedian to like take care of unwanted roommates that were there before you. Did you guys start to experience like all of the paranormal stuff?
Well,
and then
I want to preface this is that there's actually a show on True TV called Famously Afraid, and I actually did an episode, and so we actually talk about this story. I have to say, living with Brenda, I mean, we were at the beginning of our careers of everything. And Brenda, you were working for Films Inc.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like a great job. I don't know. Which now they're called Criteria. They're still around.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of work with Turner Classic Movies. So, you know, you can rent from
that's
Criteria.
So
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They're still happening. I just remember, you know, and I was taking class at Second City and waiting tables. So my hours were different from Brenda's.
Very.
For sure. So, which is probably why we got along so well. But I just remember, well, actually, and I will start by saying that this all started because I went on a couple dates with this guy who was, I didn't know if he was the right fit for me. And I remember I was at his house, I think like third time I went out with him, we went back to his house and we were on his back fire escape, which we were all on everybody's fire escapes. Chicago, they're famous for their fire escapes. It was huge. He's had a couch on it and a keg, and he was having a party the next night. And he's like, you got to come to my party. You got to come to my party. You know, and I was like, okay, well, maybe. And then I realized like he was trying to put the moves on me, and he had this waterbed. Sorry. I'm like, dude,
no go.
I just want to tell you something. It's like, and I want to say this to everybody, because if you don't think that you have an inner guide, it doesn't matter if it feels like a voice from God. I mean, for me, it was like, it was the waterbed. Like that was my signal. Like this guy is like, sorry. Like just not, we're not on the same page. I don't know what it was, but it just creeped me out. And again, once again, it doesn't matter what creeps you out. If you get that feeling, you must listen.
Yeah.
That is still your guidance. So no matter, you know.
So good,
so
Katie.
So I did not go to his party the next night. And the news the next day was that there was a horrible accident that happened. That porch, the fire escape, actually had too many people on it and fell. And it was like it was horrible. People were permanently injured, near death. I mean, it was really bad. Someone like literally lost their face. I mean, it was awful.
It was tragic. And I live in Cincinnati and now, and people in Cincinnati heard about that. Like, yeah. I mean, people yeah. know that that accident. It was so freaky.
It was
and
bad.
So many young people were maimed. I mean, yeah. really, it was very bad.
It was really bad.
So you not going is much like when you see in movies, right? When somebody's trying, you know, walking onto the jetway to get on an airplane and they get this like, oh, I shouldn't be on this flight.
Right,
they turn around and the plane goes down. That was your plane goes down story.
Exactly. And so what it did for me was that, I mean, maybe it's because I'm Catholic, because I was like, survivor's guilt. What do I do with this? What do I do? I'm so uncomfortable. Why wasn't I there? This is so weird. So I went to my coffee shop, my local coffee shop. Chicago was so, I mean, they're still full of coffee shops, but particularly in the late 80s, early 90s, like there were so many great places. So I would go to Java Jive, which was up on off Clark Street, Clark and School. And my friend Becky Thayer worked there, whom I did a really great
right.
with. I worked with her at the Annoyance. And actually, one of the lead singer from Smashing Pumpkins, she worked there at the same time before she was famous. But they had this tarot reader, Linda Howe. And Linda Howe was doing, I think the readings were like $8. And she was just a one night a week. And I was like, I need to get a reading. And that, and believe me, that had never, I mean, I thought it was kind of fascinating, but that was new for me. It was a new concept. And I was like, okay. So I went and it was like, she completely blew my mind. I mean, she continued to blow my mind because so many things that she talked about, confirmed, this was like right before I got hired for Second City. She called that out. She called like my next boyfriend out. It was like, what the, I mean, it was just like, whoa, crazy.
That's the best $8 you ever spent.
Honest to God. It's so true. But I remember I came home and I was like, Brenda, you have to have a reading from this woman. You have to. This has got to happen.
And that was pre you, Brenda, understanding all of your superpowers. I take it.
Actually, what Katie did is she bought me a tarot card reading for my birthday. Right? That's
right.
What happened. She's
that's
like,
the
I'm
other
gonna,
next $8 she's ever spent.
Exactly.
$8 she ever spent.
Yeah. Right?
Thank you, Linda Howe. And so, yes. But she's like, I'm going to buy you a tarot card reading for your birthday. I'm like, great. What's a tarot card reading? Like, I had no idea.
Which is so crazy to think. She had no idea. It's so crazy.
There was a day that you didn't know.
There was
what a
day.
Tarot card I don't
and
believe it.
If I'm leading the spiritual world, we're all in trouble. I'm just going to tell you this, right? We're all like, I can never get a level. Okay. But I'm going to tell you, so what's interesting is that also Linda Howe went on to do a series for Sounds True about the Akashic Records. She's amazing.
She's amazing.
She's amazing. So, and yeah, she's a teacher.
She's
a master.
Kind. Yeah.
Lovely, lovely person. If you ever, you know, yeah, she's, and she's still doing readings in Chicago.
Probably not for $8, but yeah.
No, not $8.
Yeah. Yeah.
$8,
but good
just
for her.
Lovely. Yeah. Lovely woman. So, yeah. So, I mean,
that was the beginning.
Like, that was
the
beginning.
That sounds like ground zero for.
That was ground zero.
And Linda called it out. She was like, you girl. I mean, she was like, she basically she let Brenda know, like, you're one of us. What are you doing?
I didn't know in reading, like, you just sit there and they tell you stuff. Like, I didn't know that. So I sat down and I was like, okay, so this is the stuff that happens. And what do I do about it? Like, you know who's going to call before you answer the phone, long before caller ID. And this and that. I told her all this stuff. Like, I just threw up all over because I'm like, I finally have someone that I can talk to about this. Are you kidding? Oh my God, you might be able to help me. And she just sat back and was like, girl, you got to read. And I'm like, what would I read? Like, what do you mean? I read a lot of books. What are you talking about? Like, I have no idea.
Oh my God, this episode is like, this is the Brenda origin story.
It's true.
Like,
I mean,
it's like
who remembers
the
their beginning? Remembers their beginning? I know, you're right. This is like, so
it's the first Iron Man, which is the best.
We could do a prequel. We could have stories before this. But really, this is the moment. This is, you know, this is AD.
How about AB?
BC and AD. AB.
This is AB, not
BB. Oh my God.
But no, it's like the origin stories are the best. This is amazing. So we can all thank you, Katie. So for
it's
we'll all take a moment.
It's true.
Me included, yeah, for sure. I'll lead the thank you, the gratitude we have for you.
We can thank the waterbed because if I am.
You can thank the waterbed.
I may not be here if I didn't listen to that. I'm just, Scott, you know.
I remember you coming home and you're like, not happening. He's got a waterbed.
It's just bad.
So wait. Now, after the Linda Howe reading that you had yours and Brenda had hers, is that when things started to happen in your apartment? Or has that happened before?
It already happened, but there was more awareness.
No, it definitely happened when the other woman had the lease. I mean, it was definitely happening.
The other woman.
Yes.
The other woman.
No, that's right, because we had that meeting in the kitchen, and then there's a pantry right at the kitchen that just had the refrigerator and some shelves on the other side of it, just like a little nook. There was an image that...
There was activity.
There was major activity. And I saw it too, and I was like, I don't have a lot of instances where I saw things, but I felt like Brenda's like, do you see that? No one else in the room responded but me. I was like, yeah. And then she just like that, because we were all having a meeting, so all four of us. So the other two just, you know, was like, dismissed.
Yeah.
What the hell? You know, crazy. That was so crazy.
It was so crazy. I mean, yeah. So we'll talk about the charge department when we come back.
We are proud to associate with businesses that focus on the needs of this audience, like Boll & Branch.
With your help, they've put thousands of people to work around the world, from their pillows made in Cincinnati, Ohio, my hometown, to their mattresses made in Florida, Texas, and Arizona, since they started 6 years ago.
Starting and ending your day on these sheets or pillows is a great reminder of how good life can be and how great it will be tomorrow.
Thanks to being available online, BollandBranch.com is open for business, still shipping their sheets, pillows, and more fast and free anywhere in the USA.
Boll & Branch is still offering their 30-day guarantee. If you don't love them, you can return them for full refund. That's how good they are.
Remember, you'll only find Boll & Branch sheets online. It's spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. If now's the time to make such a purchase, use your code INSIDER and get $50 off your very first set of sheets. Again, shipping is fast and free. Restrictions may apply. See BollandBranch.com for details.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things. Like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 4444 at checkout. That's harrys.com. Code 4444. Enjoy.
And welcome back. So Katie and I went in this crazy apartment. There were so many things supercharged. You know, talk about things that went bump in the night. But one of the, you know, core connections between us was the fact that I kept corporate hours and you had other hours,
right?
You know, other working hours.
Showbiz hours.
She has showbiz hours. Baby.
Yeah. Well, so you were either performing or waiting, right?
Right. And
so
this is true.
You know, so I would be asleep for a couple hours before you came in.
Yes.
And
sometimes I would hear you because you were struggling with something and I didn't know what it was, but you did. I mean, you were having visitations, or I don't know what the proper.
Yeah, well, definitely was. Let's not call it. It wasn't peaceful rest.
No, right? There was. You were being messed with, with some entities and some people that were trying to, you know, some energy that was trying to get your attention.
Yeah, or trying to get my energy. Really,
yes.
Is what
trying to get your juice. Yeah.
And so, but it would be great because of that. Like, you would come wake me up. Or I would prevent you from falling asleep or something.
Well, I didn't know if you were getting attacked. I thought the last roommate came back to sleep in your room.
Exactly. No. Get out of bed. I want to be in there.
I'll watch your TV.
You know, with that, Katie would be like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I'd be like, "Yeah." And then I would tell her whatever crazy dream I was having or what I was experiencing physically, how I couldn't move or, you know, whatever it was. And then we talk for a little bit, or she tell me, you know, some story from the night that she had, whether it was performing or waiting tables, and then I would fall back to sleep. And I wouldn't necessarily remember. I mean, I would remember she was there, but I wouldn't remember what my dream was.
I remembered everything. No, and I would just remind you because I didn't realize that you didn't, it was almost too much for you to retain, especially you, I'm sure it was exhausting too, because I'm sure you didn't sleep very well at all during that time.
That is correct.
I'm sure, you know, I mean, even Superman couldn't sleep when he realized he had this power. I mean, it's kind of what this is. It's like,
I think you just called Brenda Superman.
I did.
I would agree.
Yeah. Well, there's, it's, again, this is a superpower, and you have to, it's like, you have to, like every young person who has a power, you have to learn how to be the master of it.
Well, yeah, I struggled through it too.
And yeah. And I don't know if you even, I don't even know if she knew that was possible. You know what I mean? Because you think like, oh, is this something that's just going to overtake me? And I'm just like a victim to, or like, I don't have any, you know, and then, you know, Brenda, you were smart enough to find guidance through other people. And, you know, eventually you spent your life taking classes and going to Chesterbrook and like all these places where you like, you had people that were masters that taught you to be a master. So you're not troubled by this. You can actually own this and live with this and actually thrive with this and then help other people.
Well,
so,
that's what I'm trying to do. But Katie, if like
you
would tell me, and you would say things like, Brenda, don't you, like something will come up in the news, whatever it was. And you'd be like, you drunk this last week.
Oh my
right?
God. I remember this. You were calling out a lot of things ahead of time. Crazy.
Right? So we call that premonitions.
Right.
Yeah.
Calling things out ahead of time. So Brenda, sounds like during your Iron Man origin story, still one of my favorite superhero movies. I loved it so much. So when you were Iron Manning it.
Back to John Favreau, yes.
Yeah, John Favreau. Yes, everything, this whole show is all going to go back to John Favreau.
All right, Favreau.
He needs a reading.
Hey, he does.
Oh, he's coming up for a reason. That this, you know, clearly this is your struggle, right? Because with Iron Man, he lost his heart. I mean, he was going to die if he didn't create the mechanism to keep his heart beating. And so, but they, you know, all heroes struggle, right? Yeah. They all struggle at first. And so this is your struggle, was battling the dream time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what was heading your way.
And not knowing what to do with it.
And not knowing.
So, but what I do remember about my reading with Linda, right, was that she's like, well, what are you going to do? You got to read. And I'm like, well, I'm going to MBA school. And she was like, what? Like, she's like, wrong path. So I went to MBA school, had a ball, for sure. But then when I probably within a month, call it like 6 weeks at the most of coming out of MBA school, I found a teacher. Right.
Wow.
So I forgot.
Yeah.
So I found my first teacher.
But again, the master arrives when the student is ready.
Nice. Nice, Katie.
Just did a dance. Like, I know what I'm saying before it comes out of my mouth, and you bitches listen up.
But it's true. It's like, you know, you were ready, and you're not ready until you're ready. And sometimes people aren't ready until they're 75 or maybe the next lifetime. So good
for
you.
Or they're not ready till they finish
MBA school.
MBA school.
Yeah, you
got to run me a spreadsheet.
That's what I'm saying. You got to give your. And also, like, that served you too, because you're a smart person. You get to use all the education. And that's one of your gifts too, is because you have such a great business mind, and that you can actually translate everything you're getting, the messages that you're getting for people, in a way that they can hear it. That's not, it's just so applicable. It's not this like flighty thing that's out here. It actually is applicable. So if you've never had a reading from Brenda Villa, you need to have a reading. Okay. You need to do it. I second that. Because there's an intelligence with her interpretation that you won't get anyplace else. And it's so easy to actually apply to your life and plug in. You know, and of course, you know, I mean, there's the people from the other side in your life who have died who have a message for you. I mean, her spirit messages are amazing. If you ever get a chance to go to one of her spirit gatherings, you got to do it. I mean, seriously. Even if you don't get called on, and you probably will.
Well, Katie, here's what we're hoping: when we get a vaccine for this, you know, we've had a lot of our listeners ask us to do this, is to go on a tour. So we are planning, is the first time I've actually said it out loud on our show. So it's now manifesting itself. So saying it out loud is that we're going to go on tour. Yeah. So everybody can get themselves a slice of the Brenda pie.
Well, it's funny because I remember Brenda did a reading in LA, probably, oh my God, I want to say like 12, 13 years ago. And I brought my drag queen friend, Jackie Beat.
Oh, yeah, that's and, right.
Who, Jackie's on Instagram, by the way. Genius. Oh, my gosh. A lot of digital shows right now. Go to Jackie Beat on Instagram. Jackie Beat's mom died, I think, maybe 5 years. No, maybe 2 years before this spirit gathering. She brought the quarter that was in her mother's mink stole, just in case. It's hilarious.
He was stacking.
A quarter. That was for a phone call, I guess.
A quarter in a mink stole. All right. I'm sorry. Yes. I got stuck on that. Keep going. I don't want to.
And like, a little bottle of...
please say Jack Daniels.
No. Ashes. Jackie Beat's dead mother's ashes. Just a little violet.
Just in case.
And I was like, well, actually, it was to stack the deck because Jackie really wanted a reading from his mom. So he was like, oh my God. So it was hilarious. So lo and behold, Jackie Beat got a message. But it wasn't until afterward. Like we talked afterwards, and Brenda's like, hey, I gotta. But that doesn't necessarily. I'm not telling people to put your ashes of your dead relative. You don't need to do that. She's talented enough. You don't need to. You don't. I mean, she's. Sorry.
That was a fun night. I forgot
that
I did
that.
That was
hilarious. Yeah. Yes.
That was a fun
night. So there will be. But also, I'm sure, you know, luckily with the beauty of all this technology, we can embrace this format too. And I don't know, do you think it's possible to do spirit gatherings through this kind of format?
I don't know why it wouldn't be, right? It's an energetic connection, right? I
mean, so maybe you guys don't have to get on a plane, is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, right, if I do readings over the phone, it would be the same thing. Right?
Sure.
Yeah, the energetic connection, not the physical one. So.
I don't know, Katie.
Yeah.
Katie, you're just like saying, busting down walls every chance you get, sister.
Well, I'm just saying, it could be a long wait, could be a short wait. We don't know. And carpe diem, baby.
Carpe diem, baby.
This is tough.
You said that? You're hilarious.
I have to say, it's like, this is such an interesting time because I realize for me, this is the time to reflect, of course, but it's like, we have to be present. So if ever I'm longing to be someplace that I've obviously been before, I realize I have to just enjoy the memory of it right now because that's all I got. I can't get on a plane. I can't plan on getting on a plane yet. I just can't make the plans yet, but I can certainly remember the feeling. Enjoy that feeling. Don't suffer through it, but just like think, oh my gosh, thank God it was.
And that's so beautiful, Katie.
And it's hard. It's not easy. This is not easy.
How about all those times? Here's what I've thought of is all those times that I was actually away and desperately wanted to be home. That's actually what I've thought a lot about is that there were times in my life when I traveled. I mean, like it was literally my job because it was. I travel around the world. I handled Hewlett-Packard's advertising globally, and I wasn't home for pretty much 10 years. It was terrible. And I so desperately wanted to be home. And so as I'm home, I'm like, this was the place I always wanted to come back to. I always wanted to go home more than I ever wanted to go anywhere else. So it's like, here I am.
That's great. I feel like it's really just a matter of like, focusing on what's right about this time. I mean, there's kind of nothing right about it, but there is something energetically that's healing us or taking care of us. I don't want to sound glib or like I'm not. I mean, there's still so much sorrow and pain from the people that are going because they're dropping like flies. I mean, it's just like people are leaving the planet so much. I mean, it's
so
just
fast and such
crazy.
Huge numbers.
And it's not just COVID. It's like this is an opportunity. Like there's. These doors are opening and people are just going through and it's just so painful. Yeah. It's so painful. And I get it intellectually, but it sucks.
Yeah. It's funny. I was watching some, you know, like I watched like 15 minutes during lunch or something. And I was watching a World War II movie and in this, I don't know what movie it was, you know, because that's how I roll. But they were saying how there's no children and there's no seniors. And I feel like that's what's going to happen is when we get to the other side of this and we can reflect, we're going to be missing a whole generation, parts of, you know, different generations because it is different generations. It's not just one, you know, it's not just one. There are 40-year-olds jumping the planet, right? You know, it's just so.
Well, like after the Spanish flu, they missed an entire generation of people, of young people.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, like actually, my grandfather,
teens, early 20s.
Right, my
men.
Grandfather was married to someone before my grandmother, and she died
in the
Spanish flu in Philadelphia in 1918.
Yeah, Philadelphia, and, that parade, right?
Yeah,
that parade in Philadelphia.
So bad. But I feel like, you know, I mean, and then part of me feels bad because she died and I probably wouldn't be here if she hadn't died. So right. I guess that's just her path, but.
You know,
or yours.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. It's like, those are things that we aren't in charge of. I mean, I'll tell you, my mother had an abortion when it was illegal. She had a really rich boyfriend, but she had one was illegal. And the thing is, I look at it, it's like, well, I wouldn't be here if that didn't happen.
Right.
And, but that's not, wasn't up to me. Right. Like that wasn't, that was all their decisions, their choices. It was up to them. I carry no guilt, but I also didn't grow up Catholic, Katie. So,
well, there you go.
You know, or Jewish or any of the guilt related kind of, you know, belief systems.
Right. But I will say, you know, my dad has a really, my dad's very Catholic. He went to mass every day up until 3 years ago when he broke his hip and he didn't stop driving. But he's 96 and he has an amazing sense of peace and calm around death. Like at a young age, he did. I mean, and some of it's because he was in World War II. He's a prisoner of war for over a year. And but he also has, he's a great sense of humor and just a really big heart. He owned a bar, but he took care of so many of the guys that were down on their luck and he had rooms above the bar. So, you know, a lot of them, if they couldn't make the rent, he'd let them work it off. So we always had a lot of alcoholics like putting up a shelf in our house. But seriously, it was real. And I'm telling you, it's like, but the thing is that when, so I remember a message from my dad. I remember like one of my older sisters would get so mad because she was so like, you know, emotional and like in the 70s, it was like, you know, whatever. She was where she was.
The 70s.
She almost thought my dad was like unfeeling about death because my dad would leave a message.
Stride.
Yeah, he would say, you know, your grandmother died. Everything's all right. And you know what? As I get older, I'm like, oh my God, what a great message. Because everything is okay. Everything is all right. She's all right. We're all right. She's, you know, it's like she's with God. We're okay. I mean, this is. She was not, you know, she was in her 90s as well. It was her time.
Did your dad ever have an NDE by chance?
I don't know what that is.
A near-death experience? He never had anything like that?
He was shot. Well, he was injured and captured at Anzio. So, yeah, he had many. And, he had a lot of shrapnel. They did surgery. And then he was, you know, he was a prisoner of war for over a year. So it was tough.
You go through that. Death sounds good.
Well, sort of, although not unless you love life. And I know
not
he loves
unless you
being
love
here.
Life. That's
and
true.
He loves being here. So I just have to say, like, he's definitely negotiated things. But I think there's something about the message of someone's dead, everything's all right. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I hold on to that as I get older. And even when someone's dying, it's like, everything's all right. I just have to remind myself, it's like, we will go on. We will go on. And death is for the dying. And it doesn't mean we love them less or we don't have reverence for them. It just part of our experience. And I feel like having the gift to communicate with people on the other side, Brenda, you don't realize how extremely valuable getting a reading from you has been for me, because shortly after my mom died, you know, she came through in a reading and I was like, that's her. And my Aunt Ann, who I was really close to, and I was like, that's her. I mean, it was like, no question. And it just gave me a sense of, it helped me grow up a little bit. Like, it's like, it helped me accept, because we always have access to them. We just don't know how sometimes. We don't know how to get it. So it just reminded me, like, okay, I don't necessarily have to have a reading with Brenda to have access to this energy that we're exchanging, but it helps. You know, it certainly helps.
It's a great kickstart, I think, because I think it's like proof. It's enough proof for so many of us to go with it.
Right.
You know, again, and be like, open and look and all those things.
Yeah, but this is the thing. It's like this work and having this consciousness. It's like, for example, okay, I'm going to show you. Okay, my dance partner on Dancing with the Stars, Pasha Poshkov, here he is. he's a super, he has an awareness at a young age that I wish I was as aware as he is. But he lent me this book, Outrageous Openness by Tasha Silver. And it's just like letting the divine take the lead. That's what it's a great book. I mean,
It's a fast read. It's a fast read,
or you could read it for years and just like open it to any page and there's something valuable there.
Yeah, great oracle. It's all about the law of attraction and the power of focusing your thoughts.
Yeah. So yeah, if you get a chance, it's Outrageous Openness. Of course, Abraham Hicks. I mean, there's things that are out there that are available to help us manage this humanness that sometimes gets in the way.
Without a doubt. Yeah. And of course, you know, I'm always talking about meditation. If you don't cultivate that inner connection, the outer world will take over. And it will, you know, have you going to parties with a waterbed.
Yeah, no kidding. It's going to suck the life out of you, actually. Yeah.
Right? I mean, it'll take you down paths that aren't yours. And so we have to cultivate that inner guidance and that inner connection and trust it when you hear it. So important. So important.
It is. And, you know, meditation is so much more available than it ever has been. I mean, even just the calm, you know, hitting the calm app, you know, getting the calm app for 15 seconds, like just being quiet. It's a start.
And there are people who can't even do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you got to start wherever you are, but it's so important.
Yeah. So important. That's so true. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So Brenda teaches this class, Athena Magical Secrets.
Magical Secrets, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It's for women. And I was lucky enough to get to take the class. It's an ongoing class. And I feel like this is what I've learned, like being a woman in business, it's show business, but it's business. I feel like we're so taught to, as women, to try to act like men because that's where the power is. Because if you just like act like a woman, then it's not enough and you're going to get run over or treated like crap or and make even less money. But
you mean things that actually do happen in the real world?
Yeah,
you're
right.
Referring to?
Yeah. No, but there's something about I love about Athena's Magical Secrets is that we're reminded, and I'm sure this is true with the Athena program that you do with business women as well, because she teaches two different versions of this. Just that being a woman, you don't have to give up everything about being a woman to be in business. That's not where your power is. It actually gets in the way when you try to act like a man because we hit this limit and then we're women against women. And that's always fantastic. Then you're on the island by yourself with all these male douchebags. You know, great, you win, but you lose. I mean, in my opinion. But, you know, so there's something about, you know, the dawning of the sacred feminine, which we all know is coming. And if you don't know, look it up. which is why we're dealing with this extreme patriarchal vibe of
things
Washington.
And things are out of balance, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like the old white guys couldn't be louder or more oppressive right now. I don't think it's possible.
Or more wrong. Like the whole system's broken.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But they're grabbing with every grasp. Yeah. They're taking every last breath that they can before there's a change coming.
Well, because there's an attack on feminism for sure, but there's definitely an attack on different races. Right.
Yes,
people of color, ethnicities, and the whole thing. It's
absolutely.
Like,
I mean,
we're going to go down in a ball of fucking flame.
It's true. And even Grover was an immigrant.
Off.
I'm telling you, Grover was an immigrant. Have some respect.
And Grover,
my grandfather was an immigrant. Oh my gosh.
Well, and Grover was also, you know, of a different color fur.
There you go.
So he was blue.
The blue fur.
Yeah.
So
it's true. It's very true. So you know,
and odds are he was gay. I'm just going to say.
Okay.
Grover
all
could
right.
have been gay. We're all just going right. to throw it all in the
okay.
Muppet
all
bucket
right.
right now.
Clearly got to download some Muppets. I just,
what the hell?
I know. I flatline on the Muppets.
They were.
I just don't know them. I just don't know them. I know Grover.
They are what I hold so near from my childhood. Like so near to me are the Muppets. And I loved every single episode. They had like their guest stars on every week.
You got to watch the Liza Minnelli episode of The Muppet Show. Oh. It's on YouTube. She sings at the Copa. Her name was Lola. And she's Lola. Hilarious. It's hilarious.
It was seriously the most magical. It's so rated G. You know, like it was just wholesome, rated G. It was fun. It was, I loved it. And who were the two guys? It was Stafford.
In the box in the theater. Yeah, the theater box in the audience.
I love them. They were like those, you know, sarcastic, complaining old white Muppets.
There you go.
And it all goes back to that.
I
took us off to a very, very, very
No, but that's the thing. It's like there's again, during this time, it's like we can go back as this is time to reminisce, but also to reevaluate. And like, I mean,
what are we going to do?
Just as good of a journey back as any, because you think about what you heard at those ages that you were so impressionable and like, how are we interpreting it? And how are we finding joy today? How are we making the best of this time? How are we giving back even just by staying home? You know, how are we?
Right. So did you ever watch Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas? Did you watch that when you were younger?
I did not.
Okay. How about Fraggle Rock? See, like I know all the Muppet offshoots.
A little bit. I mean, do you remember Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol?
Yeah.
That was actually pretty good. I'm just saying.
Heck yeah.
Raspberry dressing. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We could go there.
I think actually I should just like have a spin-off podcast about the Muppets.
You should.
I think I could probably fill up so much material.
Oh, yeah.
I could
no
fill
problem.
Up so
no,
much time.
No problem. No problem. You could have Tina Fey on. Because remember, she was in one of the Muppet movies.
She was.
Ty Burrell.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it was actually not the best Muppet movie. I love her, but it was the one where Kermit had a twin.
Oh, right.
And it was, yeah. And the thing that nobody could recognize, he put a mole on, so nobody
knew it was. That's right.
See? Fan.
Yep. Big fan.
And I call Sookie my fluffy Muppet sometimes. So, yeah.
Sookie's her dog, Katie.
Yeah, Sookie's my dog. She's my, yeah. She's over here laying down, actually.
That's a compliment for sure.
Forgotten is a new podcast about hundreds of young women who have disappeared and turned up dead in Juarez, Mexico, right across the border from El Paso, Texas. It's a story about borders, migration, and corruption. We talk to victims' families, FBI agents, and a former US ambassador to understand why these crimes have remained unsolved. Listen to Forgotten, Women of Juarez on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a pretty special connection right from the start.
That's for sure. Yeah. Right? From the start.
Even before we moved in, like we went and
Remember we went to Periwinkle.
Yes. Under
that
the tracks.
That was one of my favorite places. And they have, that was one of the first places with French press coffee.
Yes.
At the table.
Yes, so it was very fancy.
Love that place. It was.
That's hilarious. And that was in 1989?
1989,
yeah. Yeah, before we moved in, we somehow got each other's number. And
yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah, which is odd. And, and like we sat for tea for 3 hours. Like, you know, it was great.
Yeah. We did.
Yeah,
it was great.
Okay, so we're already back. So,
okay. And then, of course, when Brenda went to grad school, I came down to visit you. And then I remember we definitely had some back and forth when you came to New York. I was in New York. You took me to see Rent. Yes.
I did.
I wonder if I saw Rent at the same time you guys did. The original cast,
1996, right?
The original cast.
Yeah.
That's a little early for me. Oh, I loved it. I saw Rent in three cities, San Francisco, New York, and London.
Oh, my God.
We saw the original, the best.
Oh, that's amazing.
We both had boyfriends that we shouldn't have had at the time. And I remember your brother Mark was passing, and it was just a tough time.
Yeah, it was an emotional time for sure.
Yeah.
That's why Rent was so perfect, because it's such an emotional liberation kind of show. And
Mark was a struggling artist in New York, so it really spoke about him. You know, it was so perfect.
Yeah,
bicycles, tricycles. How's that song go? Homo sapiens, carcinogens, hallucinogens. Yeah, anyway, I love Rent. Sorry, everyone who had to listen to that.
All good. 500, 500,600.
How do you measure a day?
That's so good. We did a parody of that in The Office. On The Office, we did a
You can't stop her when she starts. I apologize.
We did a version of that song for Michael Scott for his last day in The Office. So it was I can't remember that. It was like 527,000 minutes. That's how many minutes you worked here.
That's hilarious.
It was really good. Yeah. And I think I was like one of the few times I got to sing anything on The Office. So I was like, you hit me with your car. You know.
That's really funny. I've written new songs since during the pandemic. I rewrote C'est la vie, or no, Que sera. For Sookie yesterday in the swimming pool. So instead of saying que sera, it's like Sookie, whatever will be. This is what happens when you spend a lot of time by yourself.
You write
songs.
We're never truly by ourselves.
We're not, but in your own head more than normal. Like it's being in your head more than normal. The fewer distractions. So you write songs for your dog. You think you're going to want to go to law school. You can't find bathrooms.
No, I don't know. You want to go to law school. You're singing your dog. I know.
I was trying to reflect it onto you.
Yeah. We, what are you, French?
Oh, my mom used to say, what do you mean we? You got a mouse in your pocket?
Oh,
my whole life I got that.
So you know what the other thing I was going to say is that I feel like if anybody's really struggling during this time, I mean who isn't at some point of the day? This is the time to, you know, maybe do something that, I mean, maybe it is go to law school. Maybe it is just open that book that makes you feel good that you haven't opened for a long time. Maybe even having like a date with yourself for an hour, like take a walk, a thoughtful walk, like something that actually, like I was just reading about this in the book, Outrageous Openness, about having like a date to let God in. Like you meet friends, new friends, you have time with them, you give them time, but how much of the divine do we actually like make time for?
And I love that. And again, it's just right back to that. When you take care of yourself, everything is possible. And when you don't, everything is hard. And right now, there's many people who are finding this phase really hard. So you have to up your self-care. You have to up that I'm going to be conscious and of my engagement and make sure I'm not just doing the mundane things and things that I have to. I'm going to actually create sacred space. Super.
Well, important. Then there's shame.
Right. But I think that's the thing. Shame, as a person who's raised Catholic, I feel like shame is, it's always on the menu, but it's special.
It's a special today.
But it's negotiable. You know, shame is negotiable. It's like, okay, I see you, shame. There you are. And I'm turning down the volume.
It's the people that are waiting in the food lines, you know, like when you see all the images of all the cars that are stacked up for miles and miles and miles waiting at food banks, that of people who never thought that they would see themselves there. And I think that's that, you know, because I so many people have lost so much, and, you know, because people have lost people, of course, family, friends, but then there's the other part of the economy part that I think is a hard, because it's like, wait, what did I do to deserve this? I'm now standing in a food line. I've just watched interviews and things, and I just have so much empathy.
I have compassion. I mean, it's every day. I mean, this is the thing. It's like, we can't make ourselves sad enough to fix that person's shame either. Do you know what I mean? You just have to be careful of your own energy, because you can have compassion for them and empathy and pray for them and wish that they have not only the relief of the financial, but the emotional relief. That's the most important part. But also just to understand that, like, we hold a lot of power, and even when things are taken away, there are still things that are given. It may sound easy for me to say that because I'm in my apartment talking on this fancy microphone, fancy computer. But I almost feel like, as a person, like, I feel like when I lost everything, that's when I had a chance to really gain everything in a different way. You know, I mean, I struggled. I made some really stupid financial mistakes with an ex-boyfriend when I was, you know, oh my gosh, this is like back in when I was in my early 30s. And, I had to declare bankruptcy. I shared credit with someone that I shouldn't have, who was, you know, he wasn't well. He was bipolar. I didn't know it and was not on his meds. And there's a lot of.
And this was back when bipolar was not, we weren't all aware of being bipolar.
Right.
It was one of those.
This is true.
You didn't even know to look for it.
Right. I didn't know till after we broke up that that's what it was.
Yeah.
His mother had confirmed it afterwards. But this is the thing. It's like, so I remember having a ton of shame and feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe I got myself into this situation. I thought I was smarter than this. I was trying to fix him. I was trying to teach him. I mean, things that, you know, I've learned since that, like,
well, things that a good partner does, right? A good girlfriend
allegedly.
It's expected of us.
Yes, yeah. Allegedly.
Did he not
yes.
have a waterbed? Did you not get that?
He did not have a waterbed.
He didn't have one. He only did.
If only he had a waterbed, I never would have been in that situation. But I will tell you, losing everything, I mean, it was a very humbling time. I was doing an off-Broadway show and waiting tables, and then the show closed. The week the show closed early, something happened with the advertising, and they just decided to shut it. Even though we had great reviews, we were on for months. Total, like, rug pulled out from all of us, like, what? It's closing. What? I was sleeping on couches, and I think I slept on couches for, like, 6 months after that. It was just very humbling, and thank God I had friends with extra sets of keys and a little space. But I feel like what I learned from that was, like, why did I even get into this part? But
no, actually, it's amazing because it's shame. And I think it's important that you're talking about this, because there's a lot of people, if they haven't lost yet, they likely will. Because
I realized that I could not,
soon.
Right. And I could not at the time, I mean, this is a little different, but I realized I couldn't ask anyone to bail me out of this situation. I realized there was something I had to do all the heavy lifting. Like, I couldn't ask for money from a family member or anything. I couldn't do that. I had to really just roll up my sleeves and figure out how to, I mean, not that I didn't have some help.
But I was going to say you asked for help because you were staying with people.
I was staying with people.
So
for
clearly
sure.
My sister was there, asked for help.
But it was within the confines of like me figuring out how to, you know.
Still doing the hard internal work.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right, because that, the internal work is hard. And the other thing is, we all know the joy of being able to help someone. So for those people who are standing in line, the people who are helping them are happy to do it. Like, not right. happy, like out of the goodness of my heart, yes, and happy because I'm in a position where I can actually help you. Because on any given time, in any given place, we are down or we are up. Right? You know, like we're either in the lessons or we're in the blessings. And so, and no one is excluded from that. It doesn't matter if you're famous, have been on a great sitcom, you know, like you've,
no one's immune.
We've
yes,
all,
it's true.
It's just part of the human experience. And,
and also to receive is sometimes to give. If you allow someone to give you. to you are actually, you're giving something to them. You're giving them the opportunity to, you know,
you're taking
to
care
be
of
their whole self. Yeah.
Right. And you're actually, that's such a great allowing and such a great blessing you're offering someone else when you stand up to receive. And so there's, it's somehow messed up that that's shameful. It's just totally messed up. It's just a cycle that is completed.
Well, there's definitely humility too. And I mean, and humility is not quite the same as shame. I mean, humility is negotiable. I feel like, you know, you can sort of, there's some spirituality in humility as opposed to shame.
Well, shame, humility, like the root word of humility comes from being human, right?
Right.
So it's not actually one down. It's like, oh, this.
Oh, I don't like to be human. I'm sorry. That is one down for me. Sorry.
Well, we did do an alien episode. But you don't have to be.
Shame, right. Shame is what happens when our vulnerability goes external and we didn't choose it. That's usually shame, right? So our vulnerability, gotcha. Which is part of being human, goes external in a way that we didn't choose. That's the shame part of being judged.
Right.
But to slide from that shame into the humility that says, you know what? I'm actually affording this person an opportunity to let me sleep on their couch or to offer me food or shelter in this way.
It's interesting. Suzanne and I had a really big conversation like a few weeks ago because both she and I grew up listening to stories of the Great Depression. She heard him from her dad. I heard him from my mother. My mother was a child of the Depression. And when her father lost his job as a glass cutter outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, they all had to move up to Rochester, New York to live with my grandmother's sister and her husband because they had a farm. And that's how they lived. They all worked the orchard up there. So Suzanne and I were talking. We're like, you know what? If this is where we end up, we need to understand, how long do we open up our home for? Do we need, you know, who do we take in? Because we could very well be in that place someday.
Sure.
Because we're just
at
the very beginning of this thing right now. Yeah. We have no idea where it's going to go. Right. But we've had the conversation and we are prepared because we also understand it from our ancestors sharing those stories with us. Like her dad's dad was the postmaster in Independence, Kansas. So he worked the entire time during the Depression. And her dad made an interesting comment to her and I loved it, which was, you know, I got to know all my family members so well because at one point or another, they all had to live with us.
Yeah. Wow.
Because he had working. Yeah.
And the tightness of that family because of that. It's like they're like, oh, love. That's trumps everything. That love, that is what we have. And we love you. Come into our home. We'll, you know, help you find work or help you live, whatever it is. We'll help each other. But that's how they did it. And it's like, could we see that again? We may.
Well, that's the good part of being a human being is understanding the human condition and helping when you can. I mean,
and just to understand that no one is excluded from, you know, being in the blessings of it and being in the lessons of it. No one, right? It is an equal opportunity experience.
Right. Oh my gosh, so good.
Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie. Oh my gosh, do this.
We love you.
Even though you belong to Brenda, I love you too. And I just think that you're extraordinary. And I'm just so happy.
I so appreciate you. I was going to say, and this is another time, like if you've never binge watched The Office, it's a great time to watch The Office.
It is.
Binge watch The Office.
It's a fantastic. And it's on, by the way. Like I watched it last night on Comedy Central.
It's on Comedy Central. It's on 6 hours a day.
Yes,
Comedy
it is.
Central.
I caught about three of it.
I would say, if you, If you're stuck in a hospital and you don't have access to the remote, you probably watch The Office.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, but for real, I'm that girl who leaves it on the same channel all day long. Like, that's me. And Suzanne leaves it on HGTV, MSNBC, or Bravo. Those are hers.
Hilarious.
Mine is Comedy Central. And so because I get you and I get South Park later in the night.
Fantastic.
So good. You guys, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to wish everybody all the best. You guys just, and you guys take good care of yourselves. Seriously.
You too, my dear. Love you.
Get a reading from Brenda. Get a reading. Get a reading. Do it. Do it.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. And a special thanks to our producer, Maya Cole, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at OtherSideGuides. Or shoot us a note at othersideguides@iheartradio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think. We want to know what you know. And we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Renowned Buddhist author and teacher Jarvis Masters has steadfastly maintained his innocence since he was sentenced to death almost 30 years ago. On a new podcast, Dear Governor, Jarvis poses the question:
how many guilty men have to be put to death to justify the execution of one innocent man?
From the confines of his 9x4 cell in San Quentin, Jarvis will share his riveting life story, how he has managed to maintain a sense of optimism in the most dire circumstances.
I'm supposed to have lost my damn mind by now, but I think I'm a survivor.
And how he'll provide the details of the bloody murder and trial that landed him on death row.
I really believe if they found that weapon, I would not have been charged for murder.
Hear details from inside the courtroom as his attorneys fight for his final state appeal. With newly disclosed evidence that bolsters his claims of innocence, will the California Supreme Court exonerate him or reaffirm his death sentence? Listen to Dear Governor on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In order to create change, you have to get uncomfortable. Join the Breakfast Club for a special conversation with conservative radio host Rush Limbaugh.
Why are we having this conversation with someone whose historical viewpoints differ so significantly from ours and who we represent? Because the dialogue has to be open beyond who we know or who we talk to every morning.
Listen to The Breakfast Club on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.